flash right high, you know how I feel. Ooh, it's a new day, you know how I feel.
3 days away to Survivor Series. That is the official theme song of Survivor Series, Flo Rida, How I Feel. Totally not buying that on iTunes.
I already did.
I'm Jose Tabuada, Sam Pierce here, episode 5. And we got some special guests today. We got here Frank Palermo and Daniel Mason. Welcome to the show, guys. No problem. Yeah, it's obviously a big pay-per-view. You gotta have, like, big guests.
Yeah, you gotta have Big Four PPV, and you gotta have Big Four guys in the studio calling everything here.
Exactly. So. All right, so should we get this going? Because so far, it's just pretty pathetic Raw and pretty pathetic Survivor Series.
Well, this whole Survivor Series build-up has been pretty weak overall, and
can we go with awful?
You guys just sound depressed right now. Come on.
I am depressed.
I agree with you guys. I can't think of a more weak pay-per-view build-up in a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, in previous weeks, we've talked about WWE trying to reestablish the Survivor Series as one of the Big Four, because in previous years, all its Big Four status, it's gone totally down the drain, you know?
I would even argue that Money in the Bank has overtaken Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Especially this year when you had Van Damme's return. Right. Even Christian came back from injury. Christian gets injured like every 2 months now. Oh, okay. We'll talk about more injuries later.
Before we go on, guys, just to be clear, this in front of your mouth, in front of the mic at the top, because the sides won't catch it. Try it.
I'm sorry.
There you go. Daniel?
So we got to be like right in here.
Yep.
Are we starting again?
I use mouthwash.
No, we're not starting again. We're just going to go from here. But just to be clear, you know, because obviously.
Are we going
to
cut that out?
No.
Oh. Just going to leave it
all right, let's kick off. Raw win country on Monday. Lovely.
Yeah. I was so pumped when I saw the promo on last week's Raw for Raw Country. Because, you know, I'm a big NASCAR fan and they play country music all the time. So finally, my two favorite worlds collide, country music and Raw.
I know. You were dipping, right? You were dipping.
Oh, I had a lot of chewing tobacco and a lot of beer, and I got my truck, you know, and I had all the good stuff that country people like to do. And I was wearing a short sleeve plaid shirt. And I had a trucker hat.
No jorts, though.
What's that?
Jorts. No jorts, right?
No, of course. I don't go that far.
All right, so let's run down this card here. The Authority returned. Triple H and Stephanie came back and punished the general managers.
Yeah, this was, I the only person I feel bad for in this situation is Vicky Guerrero. Week in and week out, Vicky is clearly trying to be on the side of the Authority. And week in and week out, they do not respect her. She is a cougar. She's a lovely lady. And I'm just going to continue to praise her. And I've tweeted her multiple times. She has yet to respond.
I'd like to point out that the lovely part is completely subjective. And you don't, you know, speak for me or Daniel or Jose. Well, although they might agree.
I don't.
Just pointing that think out. I think you guys are with the minority here. Me and a lot of other men that I've talked to, very into Vicky Guerrero, very into her style.
Just out of curiosity, which men are you talking with?
Keyword, men.
You know, I was talking to Six Pac over the weekend, and he said he was really into Vicky. And, I mean, he was into China, too, which I understand, obviously. Don't treat me like a woman.
Into
don't
more
treat
ways
me like
than
a man.
One, I'd imagine.
What's that?
Into in more ways than one, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that video way too many times.
So after Triple H handled the punishments, he started in a match right at the moment, Orton and Brad Maddox, which was a little... Poor guy. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, how can they really punish Brad Maddox for this? The thing is... It made Randy Orton look strong, I guess, because it was like a total beatdown, you know, and kind of pushed the old Randy Orton is back again.
Vicious, yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to, I guess it made us think that, you know, he's got a good shot at beating Big Show until something later in the show happened, which kind of made us doubt that a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, this wasn't a match, you know what I mean? This was just, it was pretty much a promo.
Did anybody else catch Morton screaming out stairs to Maddox?
No.
It's just a case of him being too loud, calling his spots.
Oh, yeah.
It happens all the time.
I rarely realize that when I'm watching it live, you know, just because I'm so invested in the match.
I've been catching it more and more.
No, because, like, I caught the replay on Wednesday, and then I heard it, and I'm like, oh, stairs, and, like, damn, then he got smashed. And it was more other things, but the fans got in the way.
Well, I assume because, like, Maddox isn't full-time in the ring, maybe you got to call out your spots a little bit louder with him, you know, just because. Maybe he doesn't have as much experience or something, but I honestly saw him in the match against Sheamus when I went to a SmackDown taping
he's
in Rochester.
Bad.
What's that?
He's not bad.
He's okay.
He's a wrestler, yeah.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to know, like, he knows what he's doing in there.
Yeah, I think his role right now as GM is still interesting. You know what I mean? But eventually they're gonna have to do something else with him, and I think, like, you know, they have a fallback plan at the very least. Randy Orton totally destroys Brad Maddox. The referee had to stop the match. Even though it was, like, I'm always confused. Like, if it's no DQ, like, is the referee allowed to stop the match if it's still no DQ? I've always been, they just...
Hey, like, you remember Ryback and Cena?
Oh, God.
What was it?
Extreme Rules. Last man standing. Referee stoppage.
Ryback gets up. Nope, Matt, no contest. Cena's dead. That's it. Ryback should have won, but no contest.
Yeah, here's the thing. You don't have a last man standing match at a pay-per-view like Extreme Rules, and then you do. The whole point of Extreme Rules...
It's Extreme Rules
matches. It's extreme. The referee's not going to be able to
or
stop
hard,
it.
Or hardcore if you people are from the past.
Yeah.
I call it hardcore
ECW.
Still.
ECW.
What's that?
Yeah. Well, you know, ECW 2006, they...
December to Dismember.
Yep, I was looking at... we're not even going to get into
yeah,
the
we
fact
better
that
not.
I own it
yeah,
on
you
DVD.
Own it. You own it on DVD. Great.
Yeah, I bought Battleground on DVD, too.
Survivor Series is next, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I love the Authority. Any faction era, you know I'm going to buy every single pay-per-view on DVD.
You love heel factions.
I love heel factions. NWO for life.
All right. Then there was a match that should have been on the card, as in, like, well, I mean, this moment should have happened on the card.
It should have been. It honestly, I did read. Okay, so Biggie Langston defeats Curtis Axel to become the new Intercontinental Champion. Why do you not save this for the pay-per-view? Why instead do you have a generic, obvious retain on the pay-per-view that we're paying for?
It's like I told Frank the other day, right? This was pretty much the pay-per-view, the Raw, and then
it was.
Survivor Series is
no
what should have been on Monday.
It'll be a glorified Raw.
Pretty much.
I read on lordsofpain.net that WWE was looking to focus more on TV ratings than pay-per-views.
That's a bad
which
idea.
Which is a big TNA move, you know, because they, in previous years, they have really been focused on getting their ratings on Spike to be higher. And then, you know, pay-per-views would be a lot of rematches. You know, just it wouldn't be significant at all. And I think... you know, give us something that's worth paying for, you know?
I think there's a bit of method to their madness. I think they, with the new TV contract deal coming up, they want to boost the ratings as high as they can and milk the most money out of the networks as possible.
No question.
So that seems to be their logic. Is it flawless? No. Will it work? Perhaps. I'm not complaining about getting pay-per-view matches on Raw for free.
No, of course not. But not the week before. I know I'm going to... Because here's the thing. I'm going to buy the pay-per-view regardless. You know, even if it's a terrible card, I'm going to buy it. You know? But I have to then sit through that pay-per-view and know that I'm wasting money. You know? But I'm still going to buy it anyway. I don't know.
This is why streaming is a good option, Sam.
No,
look
never.
Into it.
Never.
But the TV ratings thing is sort of scaring me is... it seems like they might be going back to the guest host thing because they said Michael was streaming.
Oh, that's right.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, man.
I think
please don't go back to that. And that's sort of like maybe they want to boost the TV ratings and they're going to go back to that crap. And
that's right. He Strahan's in Monday, right?
Yep. I think we're entering another era of celebrities and things to attract a more mainstream crowd to the free shows. So, you know, on the other hand, does that make the pay-per-views more wrestling-focused?
Not...
In general, with wrestling, when they neglect their core audience and try to acquire a more mainstream audience, I feel like that hurts them in the long run because the core, the people who are going to stick with you for the long run.
Oh, yeah.
And if you alienate them, that's a large chunk of your audience you might never get back.
I think they assume that you know what, these hardcore fans, these marks, they're going to be here no matter what. They're going to go on the forums and complain and say how terrible our product is, and they're going to come back every single week.
I'll speak for myself, but a few years ago, I took an extended break only to get back in 4 years later.
Nice.
I don't know if the same thing's going to happen again, but someone might. Several people out there might decide to do that.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, the product is not in a great spot right now. And you guys know me. No. Biggest WWE mark ever. Defended Battleground like no other. You know, defended a DQ finish
and
to a pay-per-view.
And it's not like they're hurting for talent or anything. They're in a great place with talent. Probably the best in years, decades. Oh, yeah.
They're not using it right, though. Exactly. I mean, the Divas are a perfect example, right?
Well, they have another thing. Like, how many news bulletins have I read about WWE looking to push tag teams over the past 3 years? And they are. No question
they
are.
It's been like that all. It's pretty much been that for the past 3 months.
But I feel like I've read looking to push tag teams in the future many, many, many times. And I think, you know, they push a few teams here and there. Honestly, I think they need to make the tag team titles more significant again. I know they were in a weird spot for that Survivor Series matchup because, realistically speaking, it should have been Team Punk and Bryan versus Team Wyatt or whatever.
It's like the weakest thing to me is that you got Team Rhodes and the Team Shield. Like,
it's a little bit past it, you know, that
like a 7-on-7 Survivor Series.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, the thing is that the Shield, they're definitely past their prime now. You know, WWE overused them, no question. And that heel team comprised of the Shield and the Real Americans, I mean, I think it's setting up for an obvious face one with Rey Mysterio turning, but we're going to talk about that.
Rey Mysterio turning.
Returning, sorry.
I'm like, wait, what?
He will never turn.
Never turning.
He's been face the entire time.
Since he came in.
All right, let's keep talking about Rob.
All right. Divas musical chairs.
Yeah, in brackets, I put puppies on the script.
Do we want to talk about this?
I'd like to point out JBL's commentary was good during this segment.
Oh, man.
I mean, I've already soured on JBL as a commentator. I'm already irritated by him.
Honestly,
but I thought he was great during this
segment. I loved it when he first got back. But he distracts the entire table.
He doesn't take it seriously.
He does not take it seriously. And, of course, Cole. I love Cole.
Thank you.
But he kind of plays along with it. And the biggest thing was at Battleground in the Real Americans versus Kali and Santino match, I know it's a filler match. I know, you know, primarily thanks to Santino and Kali, it's a comedy match, right? You know, you have that huge giant Cesaro swing on Kali. But prior to that even happening, Cole couldn't even come up with words, you know, because he was joking around, almost whispering to JBL. Like, they were just joking around. At least take the product seriously.
Yeah, but at the same time, at the same time, don't you guys remember King? King had barely been paying attention for like a good couple of months.
Wow,
I remember,
that.
I remember at the Raw that we went to in Toronto, right? I remember watching the footage again after I got home, and there was this one during the Divas match where nobody paid attention to. By the way, like King was like off on commentary, and even AJ like took a stab at him. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
I can't remember, but King says something, and I think AJ said pay attention. Something.
She essentially, am I allowed to say the S word? She dumped on him.
Yeah,
there you go.
You don't have to beep it out.
So anyways, but yeah, but JBL's commentary was funny, and his musical chairs thing, hands
down. You know what, Cole and JBL, that situation seems like to me what it reminds me of?
What?
You know when you're in high school, and it's like that cool kid, and you want to be part of the cool kids?
Oh,
JBL's
yeah.
the cool kid.
Yeah.
Michael Cole is like the loser.
He's Cole's like
oh,
the
I gotta
nerd.
Impress the cool kid.
Yeah.
Do what he does. So he plays along with JBL's jokes, doesn't take it seriously.
I mean,
it was funny at first, but it's kind of like, you know, you gotta get back on track.
I don't mind.
Here.
I mean, they were pretty good when they were together in 2007, was it? I remember.
Was that SmackDown? That was on
SmackDown. Yeah, when they were on SmackDown. Yeah, they were pretty good, those two.
I mean, they have good chemistry. It's just they need to focus more on the product.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Even if they're not taking it seriously,
why would we?
It's hard for me to, you know, and I'm like trying to invest myself in this Real Americans versus Kali and Santino match where there's so much on the line. You know? And
that's the larger problem with WWE at the moment is that there's no reason to care about the majority of what happens on the show.
No. Other than the authority stuff,
right,
which is taking a very predictable path. Yeah, there isn't too much. Anyway. Oh, please let me talk about this.
You can
any
do...
chance I get to talk about Ryback.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Actually, Ryback looked pretty good in this match.
Of course he does.
Do they
need... I mean, listen. Anytime you're gonna you lift a 500-pound man on your shoulders and march around the ring...
Is that
I'm
not
impressed.
A WrestleMania moment?
Absolutely. Better than the one where he had Mark Henry.
And then Henry fell on him. And that was the finish to the match. Yeah. I mean, I thought they're building up Big Show to be this unstoppable force... Yet Ryback pretty much handled him for the entire match, had a WrestleMania moment where he got him up on his shoulders for mm-hmm. the shell-shocked. Sure, Big Show turns it around in the end, but it was a really weak win for right. Big Show.
Yeah, that's
Ryback's
true.
Not even on the card. I love Ryback, but he's not on the card for Survivor Series.
Big Show looked totally unimpressive during this match. Looked gassed.
Oh, yeah. He was so sweaty.
Yeah.
So sweaty.
I can't imagine that.
He breaks his sweat walking down to the ring. So.
That's true.
I'm not looking forward to this main event at all.
I think...
Not in the slightest.
Yep.
Well, everybody thought it was going to be Triple H versus Big Show, but they're really dragging this on.
Watch him drag it to WrestleMania, and that would just be horrible.
Well, I heard they wanted to have Ryback versus Brock Lesnar as sort of a pre-Mania big main event match.
At WrestleMania?
No. Before WrestleMania. So, you know, they... Having Triple H return to action and Lesnar return to action on a show that isn't WrestleMania... Is unlikely.
Well, they're saying that Lesnar faces Taker at WrestleMania.
At Mania, of course. And yes, he's probably going to beat Ryback because Ryback lost to R-Truth last week. So, nonetheless, Big Show defeats Ryback. And I guess he has some sort of momentum heading into his WWE title match. But they've totally given up pushing this match. They've totally given up promoting it. Like, they just had a stare down and that was it. Mm-hmm. But I guess it looks like Big Show's in control. I don't know. Not really. I don't want to. Big Show's always in a world title picture around Survivor Series.
Really?
Like October, November, December the past few years. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Big
Mark
Show, Henry, and then Sheamus.
That's right. Daniel Bryan.
I mean, tables, ladders, and chairs. Are we going to see a DQ finish and then Big Show beats him up with a chair and then
a tables,
match?
Ladders, and chairs?
No, I mean, at Survivor Series, because that's what happened with Sheamus. Yeah, it is the easy way out. Survivor Series, it's just, I look forward to pay-per-views that, you know, shouldn't even really matter, like Battleground, more than I do Survivor Series. It's lost all of its allure, you know?
I think of the big four, Survivor Series has definitely lost, like, as much as the other ones.
Oh, yeah, like, no question.
Could have. But.
I think even SummerSlam in the past years has lost a lot of it. The thing is, I mean, this year you had Cena-Bryan, which was a very good match. Lesnar.
And Punk.
Yeah, that was another great match. But they barely, I felt like the promotion, I mean, they announced, like, you know, the majority of the card the week before, you know. I think they assume, like, people are just going to buy SummerSlam anyway, so they don't even have to do a good job. But gone are the days of these long...
mid-card feuds.
Yeah, there's not exist anymore.
There's no focus on the mid-card, and that concerns me greatly because these are your future stars.
Yeah, exactly.
And if the audience doesn't care about them, what's going to happen when they have to take over the top spot?
Yeah, right? Which is interesting, actually, because as a heel, I'm gonna transition to Biggie Langston, back to him winning the IC belt. As a heel, the crowd was not into Biggie at all, and his singles matches on Superstars and main event, they
he
were
never
not
said anything. That's why.
No, and he wasn't. I mean, in my opinion, he's not a very good talker. You know,
I think he has a lot of personality, especially if you read
his tweets. Yeah,
it's a matter of him conveying that.
Yeah,
on television.
And I think,
and he can learn that. That's something he can develop over time. He has a lot of potential. I think he'll be a huge star.
And
I hope he is.
Speaking of the tweets, I heard that when Big E Langston won the IC belt was the most socially active segment on social media for Raw. So,
really?
Yeah.
Well, that what you will.
And I mean, as much as I love Axel, you know, he's broken off from Heyman, and that's totally a bust.
If anything, the IC title was holding him down.
Yeah,
he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah,
he had no competition.
Didn't exactly, didn't see much.
They didn't book him.
No, not at all.
Okay, the Real Americans defeated Kofi Kingston and The Miz because Miz turned heel again.
This.
Yeah, well, that face turn. Yeah,
that was a pretty funny heel
Miz
turn.
As a face just doesn't work for me. Miz as a heel is great.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, as great as Miz can be, but he's so much better as a heel.
You know, before this match got started, I heard Miz and Kofi were going to be in tag team action against the Real Americans. I sent out a tweet saying, I can't believe, I think back to when the Miz headlined WrestleMania against John Cena, and it was bad.
That was a horrible.
But the fact that he was even in that spot, I believed it at the time that this guy was a star. And then after that, it went totally downhill, and now he's barely mid-carding now. Is this an attempt to get him back up there? I guess.
I don't think so. What state are you going to put him in at, really? I mean, with the storylines that are coming up, where do you really see Miz, right?
I don't know. Really? Put him in the Authority or something. I don't know.
Regardless, it's within his comfort zone.
Yeah.
He's much better as a heel.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You shouldn't come across as obnoxious and annoying as a face. That's the last thing you want.
No, it just...
And it fits the heel persona.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, last Christmas, they had A Most Miserable Christmas. I think it was a book written by Mick Foley.
And he was face.
Yeah, like, and why didn't you just wait until after you sold the
Miz
book?
Miz is a fantastic mid-card heel. That's what he's going to be for life. That's where he belongs.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Miz. I know you're listening, Miz. Like, he's not, when he was feuding with Cena and he was WWE champion, it just was out of place for me. He was okay. He's great on the mic, but he's just not like top guy, WWE champion caliber. He's like a US champion heel, IC belt heel.
I think
to me, and he's great. He's great at it. That's what I think.
One more point about the Cesaro Kingston Miz match. I love the fact that Cesaro's getting over. If you saw, the crowd had the Cesaro section.
Yes.
Really, that was funny. That was hilarious.
Cesaro's one of the few, or many actually, that I mark out for these days.
Yeah, I was worried.
I couldn't be more happy.
Yeah, no question. After he lost, because it was a little bit of a forgettable U.S. title run, mainly because each pay-per-view they just put him up against... Name who was in Superstars main event that week.
Flavor of the month.
Exactly. Whatever. Justin Gabriel, Grey Cully, blah, blah, blah. It was a breather match between the main events often. You know what I mean? And when he dropped the U.S. belt to Kofi, I was like, why? Kofi? Another generic Kofi mid-card belt
mid-card
run?
For life.
It was a setup for Dean Ambrose.
He was the transitional champ, so they could put the belt on Dean Ambrose without having him beat a heel.
Which now, also, if you want to talk about Dean Ambrose and the U.S. belt, now means nothing.
Because that was dragged on. You need like a fresh new face for that belt.
Dean Ambrose and Antonio Cesaro, I think, are both just leaving them with the U.S. belt and then having them lose it.
Yeah.
It's just like such a big missed opportunity.
No question.
Both of those guys have potential to hold like the main belt, in my opinion. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, honestly, Dean Ambrose has the mic skills. He got a great personality to do it. He can like control the crowd. I see him as a future world heavyweight or WWE champion. That's just my opinion.
I can see that, but I don't.
A top heel.
I don't think
for life too. I can never see him as a face.
I don't see like that. But I don't see like when he's with the Shield. I think you got to split from there to really prove you're like that's a top heel guy, right? Because I mean, like factions can go for so long, but once a title run comes in, like a big title like that, it tends to be awkward with the tag team there.
Well,
right?
They've already passed the potential Shield dominance angle. You know, they had them hold the gold, but it was mid card gold. You know,
when the tag belts were meaningless still, right?
Right, and they did start defending them more, which was great. But I think the one member of the, I mean, I think what does WWE like? What characters do they like? Who do they like to promote? Big guys, right? And I actually read that in previous months they've been headlining Punk, Bryan, but their pay per view buys have been very low. Wait, I thought that's what the fans wanted. The fans told us they wanted Bryan and Punk in the main event, and they were going to buy our pay-per-views. But they didn't. No. SummerSlam pay-per-view buys were low this year. So they go back to pushing big guys like Big Show and Kali. So I think in the Shield, the guy who's most likely to get a WWE title reign in the near future would have to be Roman Reigns.
I think the deal with Big Man and Small Man, I think that's not what they should be looking at. The problem isn't so much with size, rather the problem's with them not establishing new stars. People are more interested in seeing the Triple H's, the Brock Lesnar's, the people who were stars 10 years ago than they are seeing the new stars who aren't really stars. Because WWE hasn't given them the opportunity to become those, the stars they could be.
No, they haven't developed any new stars who have reached that level. And even
maybe Punk. Maybe.
Yeah, especially after his like, whole pipe bomb thing a couple years ago.
That was big, but it sure did die down a lot after that, you know.
They botched the Summer of Punk with Kevin Nash.
That was us.
Oh, good.
Well, I heard it was supposed to be Kevin Nash versus CM Punk the month
that
after.
Never happened. That was...
Yeah, well, they were supposed to do it at Night of Champions, but like Nash wasn't ready or something, obviously.
With his quad or something.
Yeah, so I don't know. He faced Triple H instead. And that was like the match where Triple H came back. And, like, he was really out of shape, you know, and, like, he hadn't shaved his chest in a long time, you know.
All right. Next match, I think this was more of a
comedy. It was a rib.
Yeah, this was another one of those punishments by the authority. AJ defeats Vicky.
I'm sorry, just going to keep laughing how AJ's just, like, slowly and slowly tried to, like, go after her.
Well, you know what? Vicky kept fainting, okay? And they should have more respect.
You know what, Sam? I gotta agree with you on this one.
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
It's
Vicky
not fair to Vicky.
Was strapped into the stretcher. That's a horrible workplace environment.
No.
She
was
abused. She voluntold to put herself in a stretcher. She kind of fainted so she can go in a stretcher, so you can't really use that argument that they strapped her into
ring,
a stretcher.
Strapped in. That's
as if she was being brought to her execution.
False imprisonment. There should be a lawsuit in here. I was just not happy with that.
Where's David Otunga when you need him, you know, for this court case? That's what I want to see. But yeah, I mean, this wasn't a match either. These punishment matches were like just added promos.
It should be pointed out that this entire angle or segment rather was a play on what happened to AJ on the European tour.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was a jab.
It had to have been.
That's right. I forgot about that.
It seems awful unprofessional. You
absolutely.
Know?
Dedicating 5 minutes of your nationally broadcasted television program to mock one of your employees. Granted, AJ seemed to take it in stride.
She did have a... It looked like she had a face that kind of goes up with... It kind of backs that up, right? Because she was kind of like just there staring, and she looked a little bit like flustered or angry, so I can see why you're saying that.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, on the recent European tour, AJ was in a match against one of the Bellas, Brie Bella, I believe.
It was a tag match.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was a tag match.
And
AJ versus the Bellas.
Oh, the Bellas, okay. Yeah. And she fainted. Apparently due to dehydration during the middle of the match.
Which isn't a surprise because the WWE always pushes.
All like, that travel.
Yeah. I mean...
It's not surprising.
I remember like watching a Raw last week. The schedule was on the screen. It said United Kingdom, France, Switzerland, Italy, I think I saw Romania too. Yeah.
Jet lag.
Yeah, it's like I saw Romania as well. I was like, of course.
It gets really bad.
It's not a surprise. Dolph Ziggler and Sandow in a Broadway brawl. Can I be honest? I was seriously convinced that the two people had to play instruments to see who played better. I really wasn't thinking fight.
It wasn't a 3MB
segment. When I saw the drum set, I was like, please put someone's head through that bass drum and I'll be happy.
There you
and
go.
Ziggler did it. I'm happened. Satisfied. So, like, A+ for that match.
This segment was completely meaningless,
yeah.
But I'll be honest with you. I had tons of fun watching it.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
It was
like,
fun
like Triple
to watch.
H said entertaining, and it was entertaining. Like,
I think it has these kind of segments in wrestling do have their, you know, their rightful place, and it is entertainment after all. You know, they do like to break the monotony of, you know, violence, and not, you know, not that they would call it that anymore, but you know, it's guys fighting, and I don't know. I think maybe just the week before Survivor Series, the week before Big Four, maybe isn't the place for this. Although neither of these guys are booked on the card, sadly. So
that's true. Entire, having like a themed Raw, like a Raw Goes Country, right before a big pay per view is really stupid.
It's a modern.
The entire thing,
no
just
question.
Didn't make sense to me.
No.
Yeah.
But that was pretty funny when Sandow's head goes to a drum set. That was at the same time, when you look at that, like the two drums and then the guitar, that looked like it had to kill. Like, who are we kidding?
Like those Jeff Jarrett guitars, like
right.
Where they break
Speaking
perfectly.
Speaking of Jeff Jarrett,
oh, that's right. Yeah, did you see that? Did you catch that?
What?
Ziggler did the Jarrett strut.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was awesome. And they
referenced him on commentary too.
Oh
JBL
yeah,
did yeah.
They talked. They had a conversation on Twitter and stuff, and they. They acknowledged each other, which is great. I mean, say what you want about Jarrett, about how he always thought he was bigger than he was. I love Double J. And I actually just recently rewatched WCW Super Brawl 2000.
Why?
Reliving NWO 2000, the most forgettable version of the NWO.
I wonder why.
Yeah, because it was...
Everyone's in the NWO.
That was like 99, but it was like 50 guys. The whole roster was in the NWO.
Save for Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
debut. There was a debut right after.
Yeah, R-Truth and Xavier Woods, otherwise known in TNA as Consequences Creed.
Where they were, well, sort of, tag team champions.
Yes.
With Consequences Creed representing Adam Jones.
Yeah, Pac-Man
Jones.
Because he
wasn't allowed to wrestle.
No, there's some restriction made by the NFL said he couldn't come into contact with anybody, so they signed Pac-Man Jones. Of course, TNA doesn't do their research. Signed Pac-Man Jones to a nice fat deal, and they come in, and he says, oh, by the way, you can't wrestle.
Did anybody catch Xavier Woods screaming out, it's Morphin time?
No, really?
That is a reference to the Power Rangers.
Yeah, you didn't catch that? Like, no, before he did his, I think, was it a finisher? Was it a...
Signature move.
Signature move, yeah. He just screams out, it's Morphin time, like, and everybody goes crazy, and then he just executed the move.
If it creates a long-term tag team, great. But, I mean, they put it towards the end of the show where the crowd was already really tired. And
plus it's a three-man band.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Greatest band in the history of WWE.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. It's just, I don't know, I get really bugged.
Got some fans coming to the
studio. Out of all fans, too, it's her.
Imagine how many fans you'd have if you had Power Rudy on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're in discussions.
Debating that.
With the great Power Rudy from Nigeria.
Yep. Wrestling legend.
Yep. And
in Nigeria.
Looking to maybe have him on the show one day. So
I don't know who this is, but this sounds exciting. So.
Yeah, he's...
Frank, you knew a lot about Power Rudy. You sent me a couple of videos.
It's a long story.
Summarize it really quickly.
Google it.
That's a good way to put it.
All right, there you go. All right, there you go, people. Google Great Power Rudy. Do it.
So Truth and Xavier Woods get the win against 3MB.
Or the Rhinestone Cowboys?
Yeah, they're Rhinestone.
It seems as if 3MB is adopting a gimmick based on the town they're in for the show.
You know,
I read the SmackDown spoilers.
They kept this together for more than a year. Like, didn't they form last year in October?
Yeah. Yes, because they were on the Survivor Series pre-show last year, and it was the lowest watch pre-show of all time.
So 3MB has been around longer than the Shield has.
Yeah, they were, November? Oh, they debuted at Survivor Series last year. Yeah, and, I mean, we've said in previous episodes, they are the designated jobbers, you know? They have no other role except
Squad 2013.
Yeah, no question.
Even in the video game, the 2K14, like, trailers, like, the move sets for, like, every person.
I feel like you've said this the past four episodes.
And it's funny to bring it up again and again.
We like to bash 3MB.
I'm fine with them. I think they're funny-ish.
No, it's all it's
so, okay, so the main event. But before the main event, there was, what was that group's name? Flag Georgia Line? Is that it?
Oh, my God. Florida, Georgia.
Florida.
Line.
Sorry. Why did I say flag? Why did I get flag? Know. I read flag somewhere.
There's no state called flag.
Yeah. Florida, it's like Georgia. The line between Florida and Georgia.
Thank
they're like right
you,
next to each
gentlemen.
Other.
Gentlemen.
I love that, Ben. Florida, Georgia line.
You don't know your American geography?
No. I don't.
You better hit the books this weekend.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyways. So Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, The Rhodes, and The Usos beats The Shield, The Wyatts, in a what... pretty much will be Survivor Series.
Okay.
This is a pay-per-view money match given away on free TV.
Great ending. Great ending.
What are they going to argue? That it wasn't elimination style, so you still have to buy Survivor Series?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
All right, okay.
Please, still buy Survivor Series.
Bray Wyatt was in this match, and he's not on the pay-per-view. Like, I know he's not 100% ready to go, maybe, from that injury, but, like... What?
It's a tag match.
I'm so mad. Punk and Bryan are facing the two guys in the Wyatt family who have lost previously. They've been pinned, you know?
Well, they weren't clean pins.
Okay,
they've been roll-ups and disqualifications.
Right, but I think the attraction, the only attraction that comes out of this, would have been a team Punk Bryan versus team Wyatt. It made sense.
Didn't we say like three episodes ago, Team Brian versus Authority?
Yes, but we also said that they hit the reset button after Hell in a Cell because all the negativity surrounding their current storylines.
I still think that's a bad idea. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but
I think people don't like dominating heel factions in this day and age because too much rely. You know, they like the happy ending too much. You know. You know, people were mad. Oh, how come? Wow, all of that terrible Night of Champions match and that Battleground match that ended in DQ, and he gets screwed over at Hell in a Cell. Why is Dan and D. Bryan is still not the WWE champion? What are you waiting for? If you want it to be significant, you got to have a struggle. You know, it's not just about competition; it's about drama. You know, wrestling is a story.
I just think though, like if that struggle ends at WrestleMania, which is presumably, again, assuming that's what's going to happen.
I think if Orton's still champion, Bryan's not going to be the one.
I don't see it happening, unfortunately.
What, Bryan at WrestleMania?
I don't see it happening.
Well, I think maybe initially they wanted to do that, but when the SummerSlam pay-per-view buy rates came out with Cena Bryan and they were that low, maybe they're rewriting.
I don't know. I say wait till the Royal Rumble. That's the only way we can really predict all that jazz. And then Mysterio comes out of nowhere.
After a great match, by the way. This was very good match. Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah.
Great ending. Gave
everyone got a bit of time.
Great ending, though.
No complaints.
Mysterio as a fifth man.
You tweeted, too. You're like either Ziggler or Sandow, and you were just
waiting. No, I said Ziggler or Big E. Oh, I assumed Big E because that rematch for the IC belt wasn't booked yet. And he has had run-ins with the Shield.
Nonetheless, you were way off because nobody expected Mysterio. We didn't expect Mysterio.
First of all, I read that he may have re-injured himself on that run-in.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He said, like, people said he was limping back up the ramp after Raw went off air.
It's still clear he's not in 100% shape. I mean, he never will be.
No.
Can somebody ask, what happened in the first place? Because, you know, like, that break I took from it, what happened? Like, I have no idea what happened to the guy.
No, he's had, like, terrible knees, right? Like, he has to wear that brace all the time. And he's had a ton of surgeries. And, I mean, you can't recover permanently from that.
His style of wrestling, when you've been a high flyer for, like, how long has his career been? Like, 20 years?
A long time,
like,
yeah.
That takes a huge toll on your knees.
I mean, it goes back to, like, WCW days, too, because he was there. ECW as well, right? Yeah. He's been on all of that. So when you think about it, it's like a lot. Yeah, it is a lot more years than you think of because you don't think.
Regardless, I was still excited to see Mysterio. I still think he has something to offer. I know you disagree. I don't know about you two.
It caught me off guard.
And the fact that he's been away for a long time. You know, maybe I'll sour on him in a few months. But
I'm already sour.
Sorry, Sam. Okay, well, that was Raw, so
yeah,
thumbs up or thumbs down?
In a vacuum, thumbs up. As a go-home show for a pay-per-view, thumbs down.
Yeah, it did not make me want to buy the pay-per-view. No. Instead, it made me say, I just saw a big 6-12-man match, so maybe I'll skip out on this one and buy the UFC this month, or there's no TNA this month, but, you know, maybe if it was last year.
Daniel?
Great Raw. If it wasn't the Raw before Survivor Series, I think this should have been the Raw maybe after Survivor Series when they had that match at the end, sort of like a fallout of like after everything's happened. Yeah, and just sort of like close the book on some things.
No question.
But definitely not leading into one of the big four pay-per-views.
No. I mean, it was interesting to see a theme again, though, because it has been a while since they've done a theme. So I agree with these guys. I mean, good Raw, bad timing for this Raw. And, you know, I still think Survivor Series is going to probably be like one
more
of the worst pay-per-views.
I hate to play the heel here, but contemporary country music.
No.
Not good.
You know, it's funny, in the commercials they played, it's funny where the Blue Jays had, like, I heard one of Colby Rasmus' walk-off, lead-up songs.
Oh, he has that Blake Shelton song.
Yeah.
The boys.
Yeah, I just realized, like, hey, that's
drinking
cool.
That ice cold.
That's enough out of you.
I have a feeling Scott Steiner would have not liked this show.
What trash.
How's he doing? So we want to hear what you guys thought of Monday Night Raw. Check us out on Twitter at After the Count, or check out our website, afterthecount2013.wordpress.com. And, Yeah, let us know what you thought. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Give us some details. And next up, we're going to do our Survivor Series, official Survivor Series predictions.
All right, so let me run down this card here before we, and as you have, there you're listening to Flow Riders, How I Feel. Again, don't buy it on iTunes, people.
Do buy it.
It sounds like Right Round, I'm telling you. It's,
all his songs sound the same.
Meat Spin Song?
The what?
The Meat Spin Song.
Don't you dare say that on air right now.
This is PG.
Here we go. Kickoff show is Kofi Kingston against The Miz. You got the IC title on the line, Big E Langston against Curtis Axel. And then the 7-on-7, which is surprisingly big, elimination match. Team Total Divas, Natalya, The Bellas, The Funkadactyls, is that how you say that?
Yep.
JoJo and Eva Marie taking on Team WWE Divas, AJ, Tamina, Caitlyn, Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, Oksana, and Alicia Fox. The world title's back on the line, Cena against Del Rio, because we all want to see that again. And then the tag match, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan taking on Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, Bray Wyatt on the sidelines. And then the next Elimination Survivor Series match, 5-on-5, Team Rhodes, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, The Usos, and now Rey Mysterio taking on The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and the Real Americans, Antonio Cesaro and Jack Swagger. And lastly, the WWE title match, which again is another one we all want to see. Randy Orton taking on The Big Show.
It's so hard for me. It hurts not to be able to sell this pay-per-view to all of our listeners. Time in and time out, I defend the WWE.
Watch TLC be one worth to sell. Probably will be.
TLC,
will be.
Often entertaining, regardless of the card. But anyway, let's.
I just want the Rumble. I just want the Royal Rumble. Like, I don't care anymore. I
overlook TLC. It's been a reliably good show.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Past few
no,
years.
Last really? Year. Last year. Absolutely. TLC 2012 and Extreme Rules 2012.
Yeah,
those are the two best
pay
per views.
This is the six man TLC
that was
match.
So awesome.
And
if you ask me, that was the best match of 2012.
Oh yeah,
what match?
I love that.
Yeah,
six man TLC. Way back, Shield Team Hell No versus. Yeah.
I actually haven't seen that pay per view. I've never because I always thought it was a stupid.
Main event
was
really good
gimmick.
Ziggler versus Cena ladder match for the Money in the Bank. AJ's heel turn.
It was solid.
All right, let's run down this card one by one. Kofi Kingston and The Miz.
Well, they have to give it to The Miz, don't they? I mean, they're not.
That heel turn was for nothing. It's going to be The Miz.
It's got to be The Miz.
I'm willing to put money on this.
I hate that Miz has been the pre-show guy. Like, I know maybe I thought with this heel turn, they were going to put this on the main card and maybe have the IC title rematch on the pre-show.
That would have made more sense, actually, because, I mean, really, we've already seen the Langston Axel on Raw. That should have been for Sunday. So I can see why you say that. I think that should be reversed.
They don't mind putting a weaker match on the main card instead of the pre-show in exchange for a better one on the pre-show because mm-hmm. It has to have some draw, as with last year's Survivor Series, 3MB versus Santino and Zack Ryder resulted in a very low viewing rate for the kickoff. As they
I
call
don't
it
understand
now.
Why they don't just put a U.S. title match or an IC title match on the pre-show, seriously, because if they actually want people to watch it, you got to, like, just a match that
yeah.
between two jobbers.
I don't even care
no one's gonna watch.
If they have to, like, have, you know, their mid-card guys compete twice in a night, you know? Guys like Ziggler and Ambrose, they can go 2-3 times in one night, no question.
Yeah.
I say The Miz
if they want.
For the kickoff match.
I'm going to say Miz.
Yeah, definitely Miz.
Yeah. No, unless they've screwed us over with this kind of stuff in the past, so.
Fair enough. Sam, next.
Big E Langston defends the newly won Intercontinental Championship against the former champion, Curtis Axel.
Watch Axel win this thing?
No.
Axel's just like...
Absolutely
Obviously not. If that happens, that just shows how crappy this pay-per-view is. I'm just saying, how funny would that be if they just give the title right back?
I wouldn't be laughing.
No,
I wouldn't be laughing.
I don't see anything bright for Curtis Axel in the near future.
I think Curtis Axel is the perfect example of the problem with these sort of cookie cutter type guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great wrestler, without a doubt. It's just he has no personality.
No.
He has no gimmick.
No, and the crowd was obviously not
That's
into
why
it.
I need Heyman with them. I think
even with Heyman, what character developed?
Nothing. And I'm pretty sure that beatdown with Punk, he beat up Heyman again with
Looked
the candlestick.
Looked like a total jabroni.
Yeah, exactly.
In Toronto?
No, that it did happen.
Yeah, that was
but they did it again last week. He beat him up with Hell in a Cell, and then he beat him up again last week, further writing Paul Heyman out of storylines for a while. So, I mean, I guess the return of Paul Heyman comes with Lesnar to fight Ryback, which, after losing to R-Truth, is no longer a good match.
I don't think you're going to see Heyman again, like, every week until...
The Rumble.
Yeah, after the Rumble. Like January, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So I say Biggie Langston for that one. I think we all agree.
It's clearly Biggie. But watch Axel with the wind in. Okay, next. Total Divas and Team WWE Divas. In other words, your washroom break, your time to order pizza, your time to get your beers, because... Okay, hold on. Who are we kidding? I think it's going to be pretty interesting. 7-on-7. First of all, 7-on-7 is a big amount.
It's
many,
though. Nothing.
Of course, it's too many.
It's too many. It's just way too cluttered, you know?
Why are they putting JoJo and Eva Marie in matches?
I understand why they put Eva Marie in, because she's, like, good-looking, and I know a lot of the guys are rather fond of her.
Watching her wrestle made me cringe.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, we know WWE.
When she took the pin a couple of weeks ago, like, that thing.
That roll-up.
She jumped in the ring and did a roll-up, and that's it.
Yeah,
I can't remember. I don't even remember who she, it was.
It was against, like, Tamina, I think.
Oh, my God. Terrible. Terrible.
It's not like they don't have women who can wrestle. I really want to like women's. I want to like the entire card. I want to like the undercard. I want to like the mid card, the main event, and the women's stuff. They have...
I love it all that separate.
They have a bounty of talent in NXT. Paige, Emma, Summer Rae is now on the main roster, thankfully.
Yeah.
Bayley. The list is huge.
Well, it's good for the future of Divas.
Yet they insist on pushing these non-wrestlers who are only there to use it as a stepping stone
for a TV
or something
show.
Else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
I don't know. Like, it's just, yeah, I agree with Frank. It's just so annoying. I'm surprised Natalia is on Total Divas, though, because... Can't she actually wrestle? She's a heart.
Good wrestler.
She's a heart. So, like, to me, it's like, you shouldn't be on a Total Divas angle.
They wanted to have one actual wrestler on the show.
It looks like it, but to me, it's like, you shouldn't be on that. And
here's the thing with the Divas division, okay? So, like, back in, like, 2007, 2008, whatever, it was about, like, really attractive, hot women, like, having... Like, where matches and, like, take each other's clothes off
Puppies.
And whatever. Yeah. But now they're PG, and they don't want to do that anymore.
For shame.
It's like they're in this confusing thing where they have, like, sort of models, but, like, they cover them up, and they want them to be good wrestlers, but they can't wrestle. So you either need to get really hot women who can't wrestle and are stripping in the ring, or you need to get really good wrestlers who aren't attractive, and so it actually brings some...
Bring back,
like,
your Litas, bring back your Stratuses, bring back your Mickie Jameses, bring
like
back...
It's not, they need to pick one or the other.
And then, like, how, like, every now and then, like, the one attractive one, like, who, like, what, Tori Wilson was, like, one of those people that barely wrestled, but, like, great.
If men want to see attractive women, they'll go on the internet.
Yeah, that's the other
you know what I mean?
Like, I'm
watching wrestling to see good wrestling. Yeah. If you're attractive and you can wrestle, good, but...
That's
not often the case.
No, exactly. And you look at the people in this match. The three people that really stand out to me as the future of the division, personally, AJ, Summer Rae, Caitlyn, they're not going to get the win, unfortunately.
Do you think Total Divas is going to take it?
Yeah.
I think the show's back for its, like, second half, and the ratings are doing really well.
I don't see how letting them win really helps the show in any way. All I see it doing is hurting the people who need the help.
I don't know. Like,
they care more about mainstream media, so they're going to have Total Divas.
Total Divas. Mistake over the past couple of years. Huge mistake.
It's a big priority for them.
Right, we spent way too much time on this. It's just
I predict Team Total Divas for the win.
Sorry for going on a tangent.
No. So in conclusion, so who are you guys saying?
Total Divas. Done.
Okay, I'm going to go Rebel and say WWE Divas. It's just awkward to see one of them get pinned and just be like taken down. Like,
well,
you know?
Okay, one more. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about this match anymore, but I kind of do. 7-on-7. We're not going to get each diva eliminated cleanly, right? This has to end in, like, a huge brawl, a DQ. Going to be, like, one roll-up after another just really quickly where they all...
Like, 5-on-5 takes, like, about an hour. 7-on-7 is probably going to take up two-thirds of the pay-per-view.
It's filler.
It's
going to
be a long washroom break.
I can deal with this.
The
so
40 minutes or 40 minutes or less should be come right in for your pizza.
I can deal with this so as long as I get a Paige AJ feud down the road.
Yeah,
I can live with this for now.
John Cena. Oh, defends the world heavyweight title
against our favorite Mexican,
Alberto Del Rio. Okay.
Enough.
No, no. This, you know what? I'm pissed. Okay. I'm pissed. I don't. You know what? Most people will think, oh yeah, he must be pissed about John Cena coming back and being the face underdog champion again. You know what? I'm actually not.
No.
I'm pissed about Del Rio continually being in the world title picture
for way too long. To me, it feels he's been on the world heavyweight title shot for every pay per view this month. And I feel like I'm wrong because I haven't seen the entire year. But to me, it just looks like, you know, he's been at the Rumble, then the Elimination Chamber, then WrestleMania.
He's been in the title shot for so long. He's gone through like four different gimmicks. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is my destiny, and then oh look, now I'm a face. Oh, I'm a heel again. Oh, I'm a face
so
again.
Bad.
Ricardo, I don't like you. Oh, and I'm going to go back to
they've just
like,
had.
I miss Ricardo. Seriously. I miss Ricardo. Anybody else?
No,
miss
he's
Ricardo?
Probably just smoking pot with Van Damme right now, just chilling, you know. But yeah, I mean,
Ricardo's awesome.
It's a straight rematch from Hell in a Cell. No gimmick match here or whatever. Yeah, the match at Hell in a Cell was fine, but it's
something we've already seen
so many times.
They had an opportunity to mix things up by throwing Sandow in there.
Oh, okay. They said that
after ridiculous, by the way. Sandow losing. Oh my god,
it was awful.
It had to be done.
Don't even get me started.
I feel like it had to be done. Sandow losing. It made sense for him to lose,
but they could have.
It didn't make sense for him to lose. It's just. The way it happened, he looked.
And they could have
so weak, yeah. Like,
they could have turned it around. They could have had him lose, as terrible as that was.
Go nuts, just become absolutely vicious.
Well, yeah. I read that they want to keep him in the main event. Why do you have him cash in and then have him miss a pay per view? Like, that's not keeping
clearly
him in the main event.
Off.
Unless it's like you're staying in for TLC.
Half the roster is in the doghouse.
Although,
right now,
it could just be a case of bad booking, which isn't surprising considering this is the WWE we're talking about.
Yeah, the modern WWE.
Right. One note about Cena. I've actually enjoyed him since he's returned. His promos suck.
Yeah.
I completely tune out to them. They're corny. They're annoying, cheesy.
Champ is
all
here,
those things. But his in-ring work has been really good since he's come back.
Yeah, he's added like what, three new moves.
Especially his matches with Cesaro. I think those two have great chemistry, and I'm really looking forward to those guys having a world title feud sometime down the road.
Yeah, I think I think Cesaro's a really good candidate for SmackDown Money in the Bank winner this coming year. Or 2014.
Now, what I was going to say was, like, if you guys say, let's put Sandow in the main event title, when you put him in after Survivor Series, especially now that he's feuding with Dolph Ziggler nonstop.
But he's not really. It's like a TV feud.
It's starting,
with Dolph,
but it's starting to pick up. And eventually, those TV feuds leads to a pay per view.
I don't really see where the world title picture is going to go after Survivor Series. Like, are they just going to put Del Rio in another match at TLC?
No, I'm not.
I don't think so. That's the thing.
I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised. I can see Cena Del Rio in a ladder match. I'm not kidding.
Cena versus Del Rio at WrestleMania. Keep it going
again.
unless you have Sandow interfere in this match.
Why would he do that, though?
Exactly.
Because if he's...
Storyline.
I don't know. If he's not the champion, nobody deserves to be champion. But, I mean, what? Then Cena retain? No, nobody wants this. Get out of here.
All right.
Next. I guess I predict Cena retains.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope. He has to. Cena.
All right. This next match, which I'm going to now nickname the Reset Button match. Yeah. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, Rowan Harper.
I don't like this.
I think it'll be a good match.
Straight up.
It'll be a good match.
Of course, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan know how to sell.
What's that?
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan know how to sell.
They're good wrestlers. So
exactly.
Is Luke Harper.
They know how to work with the crowd. They know everything. Wyatt's on the other hand.
This match is just being used to elevate the Wyatts, really.
They are on the poster of Survivor Series, so they had to be in there somehow.
Yeah, like they're all holding alligators on their backs. That's a weird poster. Like the Hell in a Cell poster was really weird, too. It was just R-Truth in the suit. And then he wasn't even on the card. Was he on the card? No, I don't think he was on the card.
No, he wasn't on the card.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, we've said this before. I don't think this is the match that should have been taking place. It should have been a Team Punk Bryan versus Team Money.
The 12-man tag. Yep.
Yeah.
The money match that was on Raw.
Bingo.
And I think the fact that... Do they really want Punk and Bryan? I mean, it'd be devastating if Punk and Bryan lost cleanly here.
I'll be honest. I find it weird in the first set that they were a tag team. Like, it's odd.
I hope it turns into a sort of modern-day Mega Powers deal where Punk turns on Bryan and they have a huge feud going into WrestleMania. Ideally for the WWE Championship. That's the mark in me speaking. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't complain about a feud.
The only way you could see that is, let's say, I don't know, one of them wins the Rumble, right? CM Punk gets another title shot somewhere in between, and then the match is set. Kind of like how Rock and Austin was set up. Austin won the Rumble, then The Rock wins the title at No Way Out, and then they led into WrestleMania, which could be the same thing if you ran out of that atmosphere. Because let's face it, that'd be a great match. Especially for the third.
Oh, it would be a great
match. Especially the whole 30th anniversary milestone aspect. That's huge.
And those two career paths have been very similar.
Exactly. So why wouldn't you?
I think it'd be a great match. I'd love to see it.
So why wouldn't you meet at WrestleMania? So like try to find a way like their own career paths, like have their own separate ways to get there, and
then
meet.
But there's a long time between now and WrestleMania. Who knows what's going to happen?
It all depends on that Rumble.
As far as this,
so key right now.
As far as this match goes, I either see CM Punk and Bryan winning with a roll up of sorts, and then getting their asses kicked after the match, or the Wyatts winning in a dirty sort of way, and kicking their asses after the match. Either way, the Wyatts are going to look strong. Are going to be the ones looking strong after this match,
probably.
Win or lose.
Although, you know, they had SummerSlam 2010 when the Nexus came in and they had their first match and then they lost, and it was like, oh, okay, so they're not that good.
You would think they'd have learned from their mistakes. And I hope they have. The Shield speaks to that.
2010 was a very odd year. Face-oriented year. I mean, you brought in the Nexus, and in the promos, they sure looked to be good. I mean, every segment, they were kicking somebody's ass, you know? And when it came to big pay-per-view matchups, they lost. Barrett never became WWE champion.
Didn't they even, fired Daniel Bryan after the whole Nexus thing? Like, wasn't he, like...
It was a temporary deal. It was just to get heat off of the company.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because of what he did to
it's like
Justin Roberts,
choke
right?
Justin
yeah.
Roberts with his tie or something.
Which apparently wasn't planned.
It was just to get heat off the company. I mean, he was going to be back eventually.
Yeah. Well, it worked when he became the seventh man on Team Cena.
Raw main event.
I think I have to predict that Eric Rowan and Luke Harper win here. It's the right thing to do.
Yep.
Or, I mean, that's what I think they should do. Will it happen? I don't know.
I have to wait.
But I think, regardless of the outcome of the match, they're going to look strong.
Daniel.
Honestly, I can't give like a definite answer of who I think is going to win. It's 50-50 for me. But
that's the thing too.
Either way, the point of this match is to make Rowan and Harper look a lot stronger. So I can't really.
I mean, as long as that's the focus, I'm fine with it. Team Rhodes. I mean, they're not calling it Team Rhodes, but they're pretty much as Team Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, Goldust, The Usos, and Rey Mysterio taking on The Shield and the Real Americans in our 1-5-on-5 traditional elimination match.
Oh my goodness, a 5-on-5 elimination chamber
match?
That'd
be crazy.
That'd be insane.
That's how you sell
a
pay-per-view.
A really generic thrown together elimination match
that
has no meaning.
Team Rhodes is way too weak. It's not a Survivor Series caliber team.
But this should have been the pay-per-view. I think the tag team title should have been defended. I don't see
why. A four-team elimination match, perhaps?
Four-team.
Because I know, like, it's funny, like I told you, I was watching WrestleMania 14 for some reason last night. I was really bored watching a 14th. And they had, like, a 15 tag team battle royale to see it determine number one contenders. Legion of Doom made their big return. And it's funny how you brought that up. Like, that's what I was thinking when you said, like, maybe a 14 tag team battle royale. Because they've done it before.
Do they even have 14 tag teams?
No.
So,
this is where you get us. You know, split it.
I think Cody Rhodes. Okay, Goldust is going to get
lit. Jose.
I think the two sole survivors are Cody Rhodes and Rey Mysterio are the sole survivors.
Makes sense. They want Mysterio to look good coming back. And Cody is obviously the breakout star of that group.
Yeah. And plus, that could also help develop future storylines since people want Rhodes and Goldust at WrestleMania.
Perhaps.
You know, Cody's a big guy. Goldust is like, what the hell?
This match is meaningless. It was just thrown together. It's going to be a great match, I think. It'll be the match of the night. But
it has. The Rhodes brothers have constantly delivered match of the night.
Yeah. Goldust has really impressed me since coming back.
And we were there live at his return.
We were, yeah.
Booyah!
Again, another match that means nothing. No reason to care. We practically saw this match on Raw.
Yeah.
I say Team Rhodes wins.
Yeah, I'm going to see Team Rhodes too. It doesn't really make sense for the Shield and the Real Americans.
I think
with this match, it's not so much the outcome on the surface, but I feel like whoever wins, they can do a lot with it going forward, like as far as pushing guys. Like if you look at Team Shield, if the Shield wins, it's like a good boost for the Authority, and it shows, look, we're still a dominant team.
I think this is a pay-per-view where the Authority starts to claim.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it could go either way.
Because especially with the main event, which we're about to bring up next, you know, for example, the Shield's not allowed on the sidelines, you know, Orton, he's pretty much on his
own. Yeah. The Shield doesn't work for Orton. They work for Triple H, right?
You know, let's talk about this now. Orton, Big Show.
One more thing about the tag match.
Before we go on.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Go. There's one point I want to make. Of these teams involved in this elimination tag match, the only one I really see sticking together after a year or so is the Usos. Yeah. I think eventually they need to start building them as legitimate tag team championship contenders.
In the past, they were trying in the past, and you got
more than they've been so more than they ever have been before. Cody and Goldust are going to break up probably before WrestleMania. Yeah. The Shield's going to break up, my guess, sometime after WrestleMania.
After being defeated by the Wyatts.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So eventually the Usos are going to have to be.
I don't think they have any potential as single stars.
No, I think they're the kind of team that'll be together for their entire career, and you can sort of build the tag team division around.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's talk about the WWE.
I didn't say it real quick. Team Shield is winning. I think.
I say Team Rhodes. Frank, you said Team Rhodes.
I say Team Rhodes, but I'm cheering for Team Shield.
Oh, what the hell?
I love the Shield. I love Cesaro.
Yeah. Mark. Okay. Main event: Randy Orton, Big Show, WWE title. Orton all by himself because Triple H has banned the Shield or any other help for Orton in the main event this past Monday night.
I mean, at least... is he just going to get himself disqualified?
Probably. Okay. I hope not. But really don't.
If he does get himself disqualified...
We riot.
Yes.
I don't
but
care.
But don't close this show with this match, please. Close it with the Survivor Series match. Close it with the traditional Survivor Series match. I think they learned their lesson at Battleground. I mean, I think they laugh in our faces because we still turn right around and go get Hell in a Cell. You know?
Hi, Shanice.
But...
Judy came in, by the way. This is her second time.
Yeah, I know. We got a lot of fans here. We should have, like, just get everybody in here
just,
day.
Break the windows, have them sit down and listen.
A live studio audience?
Oh, yeah.
Don't break the windows. We'll get in trouble.
Just tell them that these guys did it. They're not even part of the school. We're safe.
I think it's going to look terrible. I don't think there's any way Big Show walks out with the WWE title here. It's going to look bad on him if he loses cleanly, no question. And I think, you know, if he has to lose here, and I think it further, you know, puts the nail in the coffin that this whole Big Show storyline was a complete and total waste.
Mm-hmm. This match isn't going to go longer than 15 minutes because Big Show is going to be so out of breath.
Exactly.
Heart attack in the ring.
That or they're going to have tons of rest holds. This match is going to be a stinker.
But I'm pretty sure regardless of what the outcome is, I can guarantee these two are going to go at it again at TLC.
Chairs match.
What's a chairs match?
Well,
the only type of TLC, like either
table ladder or chair match.
The only thing the Big Show can compete in, yeah.
Really? There's chair matches? Wow, I really need to get catch up on
it. It's lame, isn't it?
Yeah, just
why not
chairs?
Just have a no disqualification
just
match?
Chairs?
Well, that's why TLC is stupid, because you can have tables, ladders, and chairs.
You can do it in 2K14.
You can also have that in Extreme Rules.
What
so it's
the
like
heck?
It's like TLC is Extreme Rules, but like not as
these
good.
Gimmick pay-per-views have to go.
Yeah,
they completely
so
devalue the matches.
Well,
that
it's
named
like
after.
Oh, hell
remember
in
the titles
cell.
Back in the day? Those were awesome titles. Armageddon, Unforgiven,
No Mercy, Unforgiven,
No Way Out, No Mercy.
I liked single branded pay-per-views. I liked that like was... Raw presents Bad Blood.
Well, now that the brand split's dead,
it doesn't exist.
They can't do it anymore. Yeah. Well, especially now SmackDown's devalued to, like, nothing.
Yeah.
I predict...
A Raw review show. they show clips from Raw and SmackDown.
It takes up, like a fifth of the show.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I say Randy Orton retains the WWE title. It's hard to believe that he'll do it cleanly.
That's what I was going to ask, if it was going to be a clean finish or not.
I don't think so.
It'll lead to a rematch at TLC.
The only reason why I'm saying Randy Orton's going to win, because do you really see the Big Show with the championship after this?
No.
It'd be like one of the most awkward storylines. And plus, you know, the whole face of the WWE angle. It just doesn't make
sense.
The obvious finish for this match is Orton's in a vulnerable spot, and then he gets himself disqualified.
That's what they've done.
Or the Authority comes in.
Yeah.
Kane, maybe?
Oh, not that.
Well, they did
guy.
Say, you know, like, Randy Orton did say to Triple H, I can't beat the Big Show. on my own.
He did it at Extreme Rules in the opening match.
Right, which obviously they forgot about.
Absolutely. This is the WWE, remember?
But that was supposed to give us some sort of, you know, oh, wow, like Big Show's going to destroy him. And then, you know, it'll allow us to have a little bit more of a surprise when Randy Orton does, in fact, beat him. I don't see anything positive. It's either a DQ or a bad match or Big Show looking weak. There's nothing positive comes out of this.
Well, we have been right with pay-per-view endings, as we predicted the Hell in a Cell ending, right?
I think it was a mistake not putting the title on Bryan. I think putting the title on Bryan would have given them more flexibility in terms of title matches. A returning Sheamus against Corporate with a K, Kane.
Yeah.
They have history. I think that would be an interesting feud. It'd be a better match than Big Show Orton, certainly.
Well, I at the end of the Randy Orton-Daniel Bryan feud, I think I always thought in the back of my head, when this ends, Orton's going to come out with the belt. Yeah, maybe they give a two-month reign to Bryan or whatever. But at the end, Orton comes out with the belt because they don't want to destroy the authority yet. They don't want to make the authority look so weak. And I talked about earlier about building up to a heroic victory for Bryan and the rest of the WWE over the authority.
I feel like them trying to not make the authority look weak in turn made Bryan look pretty weak.
Yeah,
I understand that sometimes he has to end the show getting his ass kicked. But I would have liked for there to have been some sort of equality.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe have him, you know, come out on top more than once a month. And preferably without Big Show's help. I think the Big Show stole a lot of Daniel Bryan's thunder.
Which, to the mainstream, it just looks better.
An awkward return for the Big Show.
Do you really think Big Show's more over with the mainstream than Daniel Bryan is at the moment, though?
I mean, there was even a video.
I think Daniel Bryan appeals to all segments of the audience.
Yeah.
I think he's more mainstream, if anything. Did anybody see him shaving Josh Reddick's beard?
Yeah.
Poor guy.
He did? No, I didn't see that.
No, like, there was a preview from Marge saying that, oh, he has a better beard than last week. They met festive. He's like, you know what I got to do? He turns on the shaver, and then he started. And he just faded to black, so who God knows what Josh Riddle looks like now.
They better do an update on that.
For a second, I thought Daniel Bryan was going to get shaved. I'm like, that wouldn't make sense for Daniel Bryan to be shaved.
I think Daniel Bryan is, without a doubt, the more popular superstar. I think WWE is just really trying to shove Big Show down our throats right now. They have been for the past few months. And obviously, they're going to continue to do so, I think, until the end of the year.
You know, he doesn't have a lot left in the tank, so they're just trying to milk him as long as possible. Yeah. He's retiring soon, no question. You can't. He's in such bad shape.
Yeah, if Big Show wins.
How long has it been, really, Big Show?
At least he's had at least, like a 20, I'd say 20-year career.
Has it been that long?
Because
I know he was in the WWE, like the Giant.
18 years, maybe?
Came in, at least in the WWE, came in 99. That's the same Valentine's Day Massacre. 99, 2009, 10 years.
It must be, like, not 17 years.
No, I'm talking about WWE alone. Oh. Just WWE alone, yeah. Obviously, there was a WCW run.
Yeah.
As a Giant.
16, 17 years. Well, on a guy that big, it takes such a bigger toll on your body when you're size. Like, his knees are broken. He probably has, like, heart problems if you're that size.
No,
I'm
question,
serious.
Yeah, he's in much better shape than Kali is, though.
Obviously.
He can barely walk.
But remember, if you want to learn wrestling, you can go to Kali's school.
Kali Wrestling School in India.
Oh, in India.
I know where I'm going.
Yeah, tickets today.
Want to come along?
All right.
So I say Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton.
Orton keeps the title.
Okay. We want to know what you guys think is going to happen at Survivor Series. Hit us up at AfterTheCount. And check out our website at AfterTheCount2013.wordpress.com. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know any ideas you have for us. We want to hear it. And make sure you check out our Twitter, especially this Sunday, for our Survivor Series coverage. You know I'll be tweeting out my opinion. And for once, it may not be very positive.
So we're at an hour and eight.
Holy crap. It keeps getting longer every week, man.
Just to confirm, I know some people are
what was that?
Probably going to get confused here. I know we've been going with different theme songs lately. We've been confusing the hell out of everybody. We had Raws Across the Nation, which is we decided to drop. We have our own genuine theme song, which is this one, which you're listening to right now. That's going to be played every other show except for the one before a pay-per-view. So we had Flow Riders to kick off the show. So the show before the pay-per-view, we're going to play the theme song, just so you know what it is. Just to give it a good feel, I guess. Positive.
I get a good feeling.
That was an awful song.
Yeah. Too.
So yeah, so Frank, Daniel, thank you again for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So let's wrap it up. So for Sam, Frank, and Daniel, I'm Jose. That's it. We will see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Till I told you.